might wonder why I have chosen to speak on the subject that I have this morning. I guess the subject would be more centered on what part do works play in our lives? How do we understand the idea of works in our daily living? I guess I've entitled the sermon "Pleasing God in 2020 and Beyond." Pleasing God in 2020 and beyond. So the question that I ask myself is, why are you studying the subject of being judged by your works? Because there are places you find in the scriptures where it clearly says we are going to be judged by our works. In the Revelation, it speaks about that. Also, because of the places in the Bible where we are told we're going to be judged by our works. And because of other places in the Bible that emphasize the importance of good works. Have you ever noticed that the Bible emphasizes good works? Yes. And then there's another answer to the question, also because of the places in the Bible that condemn those who aim to be made right with God by performing the works or the requirements of the law. There are those in Romans. Paul speaks to the problem that people had of wanting to be pleasing to God by the works of the law. Now, many times it says of the law in those scriptures. Another reason is that when I notice the many references in the Bible that speak of the importance of our works, good deeds, etc., it bothers me to hear people speak quite disparagingly about the importance of good works. And they accuse others of trusting that their good works will gain favor with God. I've heard this idea that people say, well, those people, they're just trusting in their good works, when they're actually living Christian lives that are good, solid Christian living. But there are other Christians who say, oh, those people, they're conservative Christians who are just trusting in their good works. Have you ever heard that? How do we respond when people accuse us of just trusting in our good works? I don't always know how to respond. I'm not going to tell you how to respond, but think about it. Sometimes it doesn't do any good to fight back. I think those times we need to just simply live the truth of the gospel without making a big fuss about it. Now, the next question you might ask is, why would you want to speak about this subject on the first Sunday of the year, New Year 2020? Well, because at the beginning of the year, I believe it's important to look at some goals that are worthy of pursuing. Now, I didn't make a lot of New Year's resolutions. I don't know if anybody in here has made New Year's resolutions or not, but that is a common thing. The other common thing is about 3 or 4 weeks into the new year, or maybe even before that, those New Year's resolutions are broken. They're finished there. So I like to look at a life goal and not just make a certain resolution, I'm going to do this and this and this. But there are certain things that I have that we've been able to make as a life goal, I've been able to make as life goals, and that are good, such as getting into the Word every day. I have this little saying called "No Bible, no breakfast." Now I don't always remember that. But most times, which is the most important, if I have Bible or breakfast? So sometimes I have both at the same time. So after we have clearly defined goals, we can then dedicate our energy to reaching those goals during the coming year. You've probably heard me say that those who aim at nothing find their target very easy to hit. So many times, you know, if you aim at nothing, it's not hard to hit that. But if you aim at something, you might not always hit it, but you're at least you're aiming at something. I don't know if I have this. I read this little story recently about a man who was out. They were out in the ship. The ship was an old ship. Mechanically, it was leaky. The engines were poor. The navigation was, some of the things were broken. And it was a very decrepit ship. And the captain and his mate looked at each other and said, you know, are we going to make it? And sometimes we look at ourselves, are we going to make it? Our lives are kind of decrepit. And the captain said to the mate, well, I don't know if we're going to get there, or if we're going to sink, if we're going to go down or go up, down or stay up. But one thing I do know, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep moving until something happens. And whether they made it to shore or not, that's a bit beside the point. But the point is, we're going to keep moving. And through which direction are you going to move in 2020? Now, looking at the term works in the New Testament, the Greek word is ergon, or it's from the primary word ergo. Ergonomics, you know, have you ever heard of ergonomics? That has to do with accomplishing something happening. So that word is found in the New Testament about 176 times. It's translated work 152 times, deed 22 times, doing one time, and labor another time. It has to do with business, employment, that which anyone is occupied with, that which one undertakes to do, enterprise, undertaking, any product, whatever, anything accomplished by hand, art, industry, or mind, an act or deed, a thing done. The idea of working is emphasized in opposition to that which is less than work. So work is something that we ask each other about, especially men like to, so what are you working? What's your work? And it's interesting that everybody does that, even though in the Christian life we want to tend to kind of de-emphasize the importance of work. And yet we're all going to be involved in some work of some kind as we go into 2020, whether it's going to be some hobby or whatever it might be. If you don't do something with your life, then you're going to be eventually bored to smithereens, or it's just, I think that we're made to do something, whether it's children studying or playing or singing or whatever you might be involved in, it gives fulfillment to do something. Making scones or scones, however you say it. I heard two English people argue about whether it's you say scones or scones, and say it was an English and an Irish person. One was married, an English person was married to an Irish person, and they said, in England we have this disagreement. Some say scones and some say scones. So that was just an aside. So the first mention of the word work in the New Testament is when Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you for all the good you're doing. No, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So the works that we do actually should be reflection of who our Father is. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In Matthew 11, verse 2, and I'm just going to go through it. What I did was I looked at the verses in the New Testament and I looked at the verses in the Old Testament as well. I didn't get involved in studying a lot of those. But I'm going to go through and bring up some of these verses for you to think about and for me to think about how they're used in the New Testament so that you can maybe get a little bit of an overview of the importance of works in the New Testament. So John, when he heard about Jesus, he said, "Now, when John had heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to see what is going on here." Because the fame of what Jesus was doing came to the hearing of John. And so John sent his disciples. He said, "Let's go see what's going on. What works Jesus is doing." And then Jesus, in Matthew 23, verse 3, speaking about the scribes and Pharisees, he said, "All therefore, whatsoever they," the scribes and Pharisees, "bid you to observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and they do not do." How simple is that? They say, but they do not do. How many of us say, and we don't do? I think it's very important. You don't need to raise your hands, but I think it's very important that we don't just say, but we also do. And if we find ourselves having said something that we haven't done yet, let's not just let that out there as something that, oh, it's okay. Let's turn around and do that which we said, if it's something good. Now, if I have made a vow, for instance, to, I thought about this recently. I don't know why I'm bringing this up right now. But let's say you make a vow as a gay person to another gay person. That is a vow what marriage consists of? No. Marriage consists of something more than just a vow. So if you made a vow that is wrong before God and you say, then you can change that and you can change and repent. Paul said that his whole message was repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ Acts chapter 20, verse 21, I believe. His whole message was repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. If God says that this is a wrong lifestyle, I need to repent toward and believe the way God believes, repent and go his way, and have faith in the work of Jesus in my life and God through Jesus can do in my life. So Jesus was speaking to this about the scribes and Pharisees. He said, "They say and do not." And then verse 23, or chapter 23, verse 5, just two verses later, he says, "All their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. They enlarge the borders of their garments for the purpose of being seen of men." So when I do works that just for the purpose of being seen of men, Jesus condemns that kind of thing. He condemned it in the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he condemns it in our lives. So don't just do things so that people can see. Jesus, speaking about the woman who anointed him with oil in Matthew 26, verse 10. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me." So that woman, they were saying, don't you know what kind of a woman this is? I mean, she's a sinner. Why do you let this sinner touch you? And he said, "She wrought a good work upon me." What her good work was, a simple pouring out of love and devotion upon this man who had given her reason for living, who had given her hope in this world, who had given her a purpose, and who had set her back on a pattern of complete difference from what she was going before. And that's the hope that Jesus gives for us. He forgives us and gives us hope. I had a little story. I don't have it in my, I have it in my mind, but I don't have it in that I can. There's a young man whose parents were brought into the school principal office. Now, in the past, whenever the parents were brought into the school's principal office, they would hear how bad Johnny was. And they would hear what he did wrong here and what he did wrong there. And this time, the school principal brought them into the office and gave them about, the story that I have, gave them about 7 or 8, maybe 10 points of good things that Johnny had done. This bad little boy. And they said, at the end, they said, "Is that all? Isn't there anything he's done that was bad?" And the teacher said, "No, that's what I wanted to call you into the office for." So he went home. They went home, the parents. And of course, Johnny asked, "So what did the principal say today?" And then they said what all the principal had said about Johnny and how all the good things that. And didn't she say anything bad about me? And no, they didn't. That's not what they said. They said all good things. Well, the next week and months and year, what do you think happened in Johnny's life? Because the principal believed in and said good things about, it changed how he lived his life as well. Now, I'm sure that it's always good. It's always good. If we take that too far, I think that's not good either. But let's remember that's a principle that does work. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe in people. And that's what happened to this woman. I believe that Jesus believed in her, forgave her, and said, "Go and sin no more," and she came and loved him because of that. "Why trouble ye the woman? She hath wrought a good work upon me." She changed from doing bad works to good works. Jesus, speaking about us, who are given a work to do, in Matthew 13:34, he said, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." Now, Jesus is not specifically here in person. He left. He said, "I leave so I can put the Holy Spirit in your lives," but he gives each of us work to do. Jesus is speaking about the deeds of darkness and evil. John 3:19, and this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their works, their deeds, were evil. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And then later it says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds or his works should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made clear, that they are wrought in God," that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So people, you don't have to go try to hide when you're doing good things. Now, how many of you have gone down to a basement room or down into a dark room, flipped on the light, and all the little roaches and all the little insects go scurrying? Has that ever happened? For some reason, it just reminds me of what happens when there's wrong deeds being done, and you come into a room and for some reason, darkness is where people want to do wrong things in. And when you turn on the light, then it makes a difference. "He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Whose work are we doing then is a question. John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Is it our work that we want to do, or do we want to get involved in the work of God? What is the work of God? I think we need to study and see what work does God want to do in the world that we're living in and enter into that same work. If it's doing a good job at my workplace, if it's teaching well, if it's doing a good job with sewing or cooking or whatever it might be, those are the things that we are involved in, just everyday things, everyday simple things of doing work. And Jesus said, my work, my meat is my food, is what he meant, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What then is our work that we should be doing? John 6:28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Verse 29 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. And what do you think he said? This is the work of God. Anybody have it in your mind? Yeah, that you believe. It says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And who did God send? He sent Jesus. We just got done concentrating, focusing on the baby that was sent. But that baby didn't stay a baby. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. And he is still to be believed, even today. And one of the prayer requests in our men's Sunday school was that friends of, I believe, of Hughes. Yes. Yes. That he is reading a book that he would actually begin to click with him what Jesus coming to this earth actually, what it actually means for us, for him to come and live here. I was reading last night a little bit of history of Ireland, and a man was speaking about the monks and the monasteries. And he said, it's not quite fair just to think of monks and monasteries in terms of stone churches. And he said, back when there weren't even stone churches back then. It was more wooden structures. It was more working just in everyday work in among the people. And it was practical Christian living that they had back in the early days of the Christians here in Ireland. It wasn't this... It was just different for him. He said it's hard for him to explain the feeling he gets when he starts studying what practical Christianity actually did in transforming the lives of the Celtic people here in Ireland. And I think it still does the same thing. And that's what we mean. We need to pray. I need to pray that I would be able to, that it would click with me. What does simple Christian living mean in 2020? Today. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. The work of Abraham was to believe and obey. John 8:39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. John 8:41 says, ye do the deeds of your fathers, of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned. Oh, I'm sorry. We should go to John 8:41. I was and look at that a little bit closer, because there's more involved there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 8. These Pharisees, the people he was speaking to, were talking about... I was in verse 8, John 8, verse 41. Said, ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one God, one Father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come from myself. But he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. And again, I will say, and they had this argument back and forth. I'm going to stop there. But again, I just want to remind you that Jesus said the work that he would have us to do is to believe on him who God sent, and that was himself. That is the work that needs to be done. Now, John 9, verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And for us, the night comes when no man can work. So today is the day. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. First John 10:25, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Now, as I started to look at how the word works or deeds was used, I soon noticed that the term works of the law was used. Another term was good works, righteousness of the law. And if you get into Romans then, Romans talks about works a lot. In Romans chapter 2, verse 6, he says, "God will render to every man according to his deeds." And verse 7, "To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life, God will give to those according to their deeds." Now that is in the beginning of Romans, and Romans is a book where many people say, well, Paul is de-emphasizing works. He's de-emphasizing works. No, in the very beginning he says that every man will be judged according to his deeds. But what Paul is concerned about is that people are establishing their own righteousness based on the deeds of the law. The deeds of the law. So, speaking of the Gentiles and the idea of the law, chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Which the Gentiles show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." In Romans 3:20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Verse 27, "Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Because Abraham lived before the law was ever given." So Abraham lived by faith in believing in God, and that's what we need to do as well. And that doesn't mean that there are not good works and good things that we need to be involved in. Romans 4, verse 6, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." And he's speaking about the works of the law. Romans 9, verse 11, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good and evil, or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." And then verse 32 of the same chapter, "Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone." And then there is so much contained in Romans, and I don't have time to really get into the Romans discussion. But there's so much. I don't know where to stop and where to start. I will say this much. I'll just give you a little story. Brussels sprouts or Russell Stover. One of my little ones was tattling on her sibling the other day by informing us that her little sister had eaten a Brussels sprout without asking. My wife, thinking that was strange, investigated and discovered that she had meant to say this sibling had taken a Russell Stover without asking. Now, Russell Stover happens to be a fine chocolate. Russell Stover chocolates and Brussels sprouts are both classified as foods. But that is where the similarity ends. In a similar way, there are many kinds of spiritual foods that we can choose to spend our time consuming. Some foods are outright poison, should be avoided at all costs. Books that teach heresy or false doctrine can do great damage to our souls. Others are light reading. Like chocolate candy, they have their place in moderation, but they can't be the staples of our diet. Then there are the Brussels sprouts. Spiritual babies probably won't have developed a taste for them, but reading deeper books which emphasize sacrificial living and total devotion to God will best redeem the time. And bringing that story in because sometimes when we start getting into the Bible and starting to study these concepts that are a little bit hard to understand, it's important to be willing to actually think through them and think about what good works, what place good works have in our life, and what Paul is trying to say when he says that good works are not important, that we should focus on faith in Christ rather than in good works. What he was speaking about was people who were trying to establish their own righteousness by keeping the deeds of the law. That does not mean that it's not important for us to think about how can I focus on the good things that I should do in this world, not because they will give me salvation in the end, but because I have been saved from a life of sin, and now what am I going to do with this body that I have left that's still living? Am I going to take this body and use it for deeds of the flesh? Or am I going to take this body that is now saved and now has salvation, and I'm going to use it for good works? And I don't need to feel guilty for using this body for good works. I don't need to feel like I'm trying to gain favor with God. No, he's given me the favor of saving me and sending Jesus to this earth. And Jesus went to the cross and he literally gave his life so that I can have freedom, so that I can have hope, and so that I can have a new reason for living. That's why what I want to emphasize in the year 2020, let's not be scared of good works. Because that's, and I'm going to stop here, but you can go on if you ever want to do a search on a computer on the rest of, toward the end of Revelation. I need to read just a few verses in Revelation because there are so many verses. verse 20, Revelation 20, verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. There's other places that talk about the work that we do is either like wood, hay, or stubble and be burned up, or it can be something that lasts forever. And if you think about the work that you moms are doing with your children and dads are doing with your children have an eternal aspect to them. And the people that we work with at the camp, the boys and girls that we work with there, there's something about eternity that's in their hearts that we are actually working with that lasts, that's not wood, hay, and stubble that just is burned up. It's going to last forever. So whatever we can do that is working with eternal values and eternal lives, lives with eternal value, and point those to Jesus, because it's not I that saves them. Paul over and over said, and Peter and the apostles, when they were asked about the good things they were doing, they said, no, it's not because of me, it's because of what Jesus did. That's where we need to continue to point to, what Jesus did and what he does, what he can do for me, what he can do for you on an everyday, moment-by-moment basis. I hope I didn't make it too jumping back and forth this morning with my thoughts, because that's a little bit how it felt. But may God bless the message to your hearts. as well as to my heart, that in the year 2020, my goal can be formed and to continue to lift up who Jesus is and what he's done, and bring that those truths into the lives and the hearts of people that we meet day by day, and that our work won't be burned up. Let's kneel for prayer.